The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Susan Dellinger from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading to you from Oprah Magazine, December 2019, Volume 20, Number 12. And this is the first of four installments. On this month's cover, Oprah is the picture of elegance in a white shoulderless gown with a fit and flare skirt and a mermaid tail. Her straight hair is full and falls below her shoulders. Long, dangly diamond earrings frame her face. A dramatic long red silk wrap billows like angel's wings in the breeze. She stands barefoot on a green manicured lawn with a backdrop of luscious trees and a sunny sky. This is, of course, the Christmas My Favorite Things issue. And let's look behind the scenes. And we have a picture of Oprah in another white gown, this one with a wide scoop neck, and it has a red silk taffeta bow on the front, and the bow covers the entire bodice and all the way to the sleeves with a tight little knot right at the bust line and long streamers that hit about at the hem level. And there's a picture of Adam Glassman standing behind Oprah as she's getting ready for the shoot, and they're definitely on the studio. And then there's another picture of Oprah in the cover gown. This one's taken from the back. And this is also taken in the studio. And that satin wrap is like a train, a 10-foot-long train from her shoulders to its end. The impressive 10-foot train on Brandon Maxwell's striking design is what we see here. And then the picture above with the red silk taffeta bow is a picture of Oprah en route to the set in Christian Siriano's creation. And the heading is Bowed Over. You couldn't help getting wrapped up in the spirit of the season at our final cover shoot in 2019. Oprah, the ultimate gift giver, became a present personified in 1950s-inspired custom gowns by Christian Siriano and Brandon Maxwell. As she put it, "I feel like a couture Mrs. Claus." Keep the mood extra merry. They had John Legend's What Christmas Means to Me on repeat. And on the sidebar, we have about a half a dozen pictures here of Oprah and special folks related to the favorite things list. Present day. After the cover shoot, Oprah was joined by a few special guests as she tested and tasted items for this year's favorite things. We have a picture of Gail and Oprah both in red dresses and Adam Glassman in a dark navy shirt and black jeans. And they are showing their colors, yellow, orange, and navy, as it would be, in earth-friendly House of Fluff hats. And these are like the lumberjack hats. They're all, they're like lamb's wool, but these would be the earth-friendly version of lamb's wool. And they're the ones that curl up at the front and then have the long earmuff things that come all the way down to the collar. And then next, we have a picture of Oprah with Sarah Jessica Parker, who has dropped by to demonstrate the multifunctional backpack she designed with Samsonite. And they are standing there with a couple of these backpacks and some Christmas trees in the background. The next picture is Lady Gaga giving Oprah the skinny on her new line of eyeshadows. And Lady Gaga, her hair is dark with just a few blonde highlights in it, but it's pulled back, and she's awfully tall standing there next to Oprah. Oprah's hugging her and got her head leaned into her, and her hair kind of comes to about the bottom of Lady Gaga's ears. And then next we have Eula Smith of E. Marie Travel, who explains how her cozy blanket can double as a scarf. And she's a tall, slender black woman. She's in a sweater. And again, these Christmas trees are in the background. And she's got this gray bundle in her hand. And then finally, the favorite things finale, 79 glorious gifts. Again, these Christmas trees with the snow on them in the background, and Oprah's in her red dress, and she's got her arms spread open over a table laden with gifts. And here we go from Oprah. You know it's favorite things time when the O team starts taste testing, among many other treats, chocolate babka, tomato pie, Gravlax, peanut butter cups, salami, and truffle mustard. Did I mention that was all in one sitting? I'm pleased to report we survived to touch, try on, sniff, fall in love with, and narrow down a vast array of goodies until we were left with what I believe are the perfect presents of 2019. And yes, the Gravlax and truffle mustard made the cut. In addition to tackling the tangible, we're taking a look at those little moments that defy logic. We asked readers whether the universe has ever sent them a sign and received stories filled with wonder, grace, and reassurance. Personally, I delight in Christmas Day. We do a brunch buffet of everything from fresh blueberry muffins to shakshuka, which is sort of like Huevos Rancheros with a Tunisian passport. Our gathering is cheery and mellow and exactly how I want to wind down the year, but not before wishing you excellent health, genuine happiness, and joyful days ahead. Oprah. Now, let's look at, this is a relatively new monthly item in the Oprah magazine, and it's called The Weigh-In. Your take on topics we're covering this month. First off, there's a white box with a red satin bow, and the question is, would you rather get a bunch of small gifts or one biggie? 55% of us said 55% for the more the merrier, 45% the bigger the better. The next question, we have some pretzels, and maybe these are Skittles. Very colorful against this white background. Snacks, sweet or salty is the question. 64% say sweet is a real treat. 36% say nothing faulty about salty. Now we've got three more items. The next one shows an alarm clock. Your ideal bedtime is around 10 p.m. Early to bed, early to rise, say 73%. 27% say 2 a.m. So many shows to binge watch, so little time. Our next to the last question, and these are some beauty products. Question, what's your go-to party look? 50% say shimmery smoky eye, and there's a palette of gray eyeshadow here. And then there's a smear of red lipstick, and it says bold red lips, 50%. And the last question against a picture of a starry sky, has the universe ever sent you a sign? 26% say, still waiting. 74%, yes, it seems to have me on speed dial. And as we usually do at the beginning of the first installment each month, let's go to the reading room. And we have 10 topics, 10 book suggestions here under the heading Seasons Readings. Presents come and go, but a beautiful book is forever. The first one is Flora Magnifica by Makoto Azuma and Shunsuke Shinoki. Blooming with technicolor, vitality yet tinged with melancholy, these enchanting photos by a duo of Japanese artists capture cut flowers on the cusp of decay, quote, suspended in a state of eternal life, where they can not wither or die, end of quote. The next item, number two, by Mary Wilson, Supreme Glamour. A founding member of the Supremes presents a glitter-tastic tour of the meteoric rise via the eye-popping fashions they became known for, from early dresses they made themselves by embellishing butterick patterns to the Michael Travis-designed turquoise frieze satin gowns the trio donned for a 1968 Ed Sullivan Show appearance. And the third book, If Cats Disappeared from the World, by Jinky Kawamura. Strangeness abounds in this slender and surreal tale, already an international bestseller, that centers on a terminally ill 30-year-old postman who must navigate a Faustian bargain. In exchange for extending his life, the devil will cause one thing to vanish completely. The potential result is a canine's dream and YouTube's worst nightmare. And the fourth title is Bill Cunningham on the Street, the sumptuous first ever published collection of photos by the late lamented street style Shutterbug, a tireless chronicler of Manhattan's constantly morphing fashion scene, comes with commentary from, among others, Vogue's Anna Wintour. And number five, How to Raise a Reader by Pamela Paul and Maria Russo. Two editors of the New York Times Book Review curate tips, tricks, and book picks for parents of burgeoning bibliophiles from infant to teen. While all-time faves such as Harriet the Spy make the grade, the canon expands to include new classics like Mo Willems' Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus and Do Is Tack, a story about a plant narrated in bug language. The sixth title, Infinite Cities, by Rebecca Solent, Rebecca Snedeker, and Joshua Jelly Shapiro. At once whimsical and socially conscious, this set of three atlases comprises a profusion of essays and 70 idiosyncratic maps of New York City, San Francisco, and New Orleans that guide us into obscure corners of urban life. The authors and cartographers offer tribute and elegy as, quote, every city is many places, end of quote, with its dwellers, quote, in a process of discovery that need never end, end of quote. The seventh title is Mythos by Stephen Fry. Let waggish comic actor Fry be your ferryman as he retells, with the aid of eminent classical artwork, the ancient and strangely au courant Greek legends, among them Zeus and Hera's coupling, of which Fry writes, quote, crackling with tension, impatience, and distrust, theirs was nonetheless a great marriage, end of quote. The eighth title is Philidia by Lydia Matichio Bastianich. For those who want to craft the kind of delicioso Italian delights one finds at the chef's flagship New York restaurant, Philidia Bastianich serves up more than 100 signature recipes she spent 38 years perfecting. Istrian-inflected dishes, both sophisticated and homespun. The ninth title, Shoot for the Moon, by Tim Walker. An avant-garde fashion photographer and filmmaker who started as an assistant to Richard Avedon, warps portraits, among them images of Cate Blanchett and Marion Cotillard, into stunning Magritte-like fantasias that, in Walker's words, quote, dance with the surprising moment and swing with the immediacy of the unplanned, end of quote. And the tenth and final title is Morning Glory on the Vine by Joni Mitchell, quote, I'm a painter first and a musician second, end of quote, Mitchell once said. The folk legend's astonishing duality is on full display in this exquisite compilation of dreamy watercolors, drawings, and handwritten lyrics, which began as a limited edition bespoke holiday gift for her friends. And now let's move to the Big O, the features, special features section of the magazine. And each month, the creative folks at O do some wonderful creativity, creating an Oprah O for us. This month, it's a green wreath on a red door with a big red bow. December 2019, call it fate, kismet, divine intervention. When the universe comes calling with an urgent message about your life, we recommend inviting it right on in. Signs and wonders. In the Bible, the phrase signs and wonders denotes miraculous events that astonished human beings with evidence of divine power. These days on earth, regardless of our faith, believers and skeptics alike can still be astonished by transcendent moments when we feel something greater at work in the universe. Happenings too uncanny to be pure coincidence, offering reassurance or guidance when we need it most. To mark this magic-filled time of year, we asked readers whether they've ever been visited by a sign, and their responses were wondrous indeed. And our first contribution is from Sally Uzi at Sally Long, excuse me. That's at Sally Lonergan-Uzi. I interviewed for a job that went to someone else with more experience, but the company called me back to offer me another position. I was surprised because I'd never actually interviewed for this other job, but I was assured that it was a real offer, and so I accepted. Months later, I found out that when my new bosses met me, they were confused because I wasn't the person they'd selected. As it turns out, the sticky note that said, call and offer job, got stuck on the wrong file. Mine. Now I'm in my 21st year at the company. Amy Hughes at Amy Catherine Designs says, my mother passed away a month before my daughter's wedding, and we were all so sad she wasn't going to be with us. Whenever I saw cardinals, I always thought of my dad, who died years before, so I asked Mom to visit us at the wedding in the form of a cardinal. On the big day, I kept looking, but I didn't see one. Then, in the moment after my daughter and her husband said their vows, the preacher stopped and said, I want everyone to hold their silence and listen to this beautiful choir of birds singing. I knew that my mom and dad were there, bringing all their joy. As the sun went down, the sky turned a beautiful shade of pink. That was my mom's name, Pinky. It seemed like a gift from her and God on my daughter's wedding day. Kelly Parks at Kellogg's2301 contributes. In 2014, I was struggling to find permanent work. One day, as I sat in my car crying, I yelled out, okay, universe, it's all yours. Take everything I have. Suddenly, my phone rang, and I had to compose myself to answer. The call was about a job. Joshua Smith at Joshua Smith, Inc. says, in my early 30s, I sold everything I owned and moved to New York to become an interior designer. I landed my dream job, but after taxes each month, I was bringing home less than my rent. My savings were dwindling fast, and self-doubt was knocking on my door. One night, as I sat at my computer, a grasshopper hopped onto my keyboard. A grasshopper in New York City? Huh? I looked up the symbolism of grasshoppers and read that they can jump only upward or forward, never backward. So I leaned into faith and kicked fear to the curb. Months later, I launched my own design business, and not long after that, I met and married the man of my dreams. Had I not trusted that sign, I would have missed out on so many miracles. Carol Cadavid at CarolCad12 says, I was walking in New York City with my best friend discussing my new job opportunity in San Francisco. I was worried about the move, whether I'd adjust and make friends. Then we stepped over an envelope on the sidewalk and realized it had SFO written on it in big black Sharpie letters. 5 years later, I'm still enjoying life in California. Stacy Mitch from at Stacy Mitch says, I had taken my dog to the vet for heavy breathing and other symptoms. I was told she was fine, old but healthy. The following weekend, I went on an overnight trip about 2 hours away. I had a friend check on my dog. Later that evening, I received 3 calls from a blocked ID that lasted a minute, but nothing was said. On the 3rd call, I heard faint breathing. Immediately, I felt that something was wrong and I needed to go home. My friend had checked on my dog at 8. The calls started at 9 and ended at 11:30. When I got home, I found that my dog had passed, lying peacefully on her bed. When I took her to the vet, they told me they believed she died somewhere near 11:30 or slightly after. No doubt in my mind and heart, it was her spirit calling me somehow. She knew how much I loved her, and she wanted to say goodbye. Next, we hear from Leanne Millick, who is at Leanne Millick. I was an unhappy lawyer who had been running from my dream of being a writer. However, one summer morning, I decided that if I got a specific sign, I'd start putting together the portfolio I needed to get into an MFA program. I was going to a block-long neighborhood garage sale and told myself that if I saw a copy of The Glass Castle, which I'd just read and loved, I'd know I was supposed to write a memoir of my own. I walked up and down that street for an hour, but there was no sign of the book. Then, just before I was going back to my house, a woman ran up and asked me if I wanted a new microwave. I turned to follow her, and on the lawn next to hers, there it was, The Glass Castle, lying there, waiting for me. She told me her neighbor had just put the book out. I bought it for 75 cents, my hands shaking. In a daze, I drove to the grocery store, where I parked behind a Mercedes-Benz with a vanity plate that said, "Write it." I guess the universe was scared I wouldn't listen. That was 7 years ago. I graduated from the MFA program, and I'm currently putting the finishing touches on my manuscript. The next contribution is from Lita Rabinow at LitROB96. My saucy, stylish grandmother was born at the turn of the last century, when women had few choices. She loved clothes and at the end of her life told me, "I wish I'd gone to New York and been a fashion buyer." Fast forward 13 years to my second daughter. At 3 years old, she came downstairs one day in capri pants, a little t-shirt, and slide sandals, and a scarf around her waist. She'd never put on that outfit before, but it was a replica of what my grandma wore every Sunday, like part of her had been reborn. My daughter, now 28, went on to become a fashion buyer in New York. She's currently in business school, working with a group of her colleagues to create their own label. And next, we have a contribution from Barbara Bailey Munoz at Bailey04Barbara. Before a close friend of mine passed away in 2004, she informed me that I would have another child. I didn't want to hear that. I already had 2 boys. My youngest was 6 months old, and I was done. In the years after my friend died, I started having dreams in which my mom, who died while I was in college, would be sitting on my bed, pregnant, or I'd be holding a chubby little girl. Then in 2007, I was going through drawers and found 2 unused pregnancy tests I'd had since I got pregnant with my youngest. Who keeps those things that long? They'd expired, but I took one anyway. When I saw the plus sign, I actually laughed. I decided to use the other in the morning when the test was supposed to be more reliable. And when I got another plus sign, I was no longer in denial about all the signs that came before. Our next contribution is from Jenna Sylvie at Jenna Loves Sprinks. I was driving to meet a guy for a date at a diner, feeling scared to pursue a relationship because I'd been hurt before. Then I came to a hill, and when I reached the top, I could see all of Lancaster County, including the diner underneath a rainbow. That guy and I got married in September. And next, from Maggie Martin Riley at Maggie May 42, we have this. My father was young, vibrant, and healthy until he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and died 2 years ago. While he was sick, he frequently talked about wanting to be a fun granddad, though he'd never get to meet any of his grandkids' earth side. This year on my dad's birthday, I gave birth to my son. When I told people I'd asked my baby and my dad for this gift, everyone would politely smile at the crazy pregnant lady. My son was due a week later. But I believe the universe, my father, and my son wanted to make it known that my dad had met our little guy before I ever held him in my arms. The next contribution is from Donna Krikui, and she writes, 5 years ago, I totally gave up on men. I had left an unhappy marriage and had been out dating only to be disappointed again and again. Finally, I said, God, I am done. From now on, my focus is you, my kids, my girlfriends, and my wine. If you have someone for me, though, I ask you, please put him on my path and give me a sign. 2 months later, the electronic key to my gym failed, so I took a power walk around my complex before work instead. A man was loading his SUV. He said, good morning, how are you? His energy was supremely different from the other men I'd met. He seemed driven by his heart, not his ego. He felt like a long-lost friend. I ran into him a few more times that week, and we shared deep conversations at our complex's pool. He asked my kids' names, and I said, Morgan and Jaden. He pointed to his kids and said, Morgan and Aiden. Eventually, he asked me out, and now we're engaged. God put him in my path and gave me a sign. Just like I asked. Sandra Kovacs at SD Kovacs writes, I have a history of depression and I was struggling to come out of a particularly difficult episode. Then one evening when I went to find something in my armoire, all the shelves, which had been precariously held in place, collapsed. My books and other items were lying at my feet. Out of the jumble, I picked a card that read, God puts rainbows in the clouds so that each of us, in the dullest and most dreary moments, can see a possibility of hope. It made me take notice in two ways. Hope is alive, and whenever I see rainbows, I know whatever is happening with me is going to be all right. Deb Searle writes, one Monday night in October 1989, I came home with my arms filled with groceries. My husband and kids were watching football, and as I unloaded the bags and began to prepare dinner, I was feeling so grouchy. The time had changed. It was already dark. I grumbled that the light was out in the oven, and my husband yelled, "Should have told you to get a new bulb before you went to the store." He was killed in a car accident the next day. A few weeks later, my first day back to work and into this sad new life, I pulled myself out of that lonely bed and headed for the dark kitchen. When I turned the corner, the light in the oven, which I hadn't replaced, was shining brightly. On the morning I needed it most, my husband was speaking to me. And we have about half a dozen more of these contributions. Nancy Peterson at Nansu 928 says, when my brother and I were spreading our mom's ashes, we went out to see where we'd spread our father's ashes 18 years earlier. Suddenly, we saw two dolphins swimming side by side, and I said, I see mom and dad are back together again. Barry Nicolau says, I'd had some work done on my car, and on my way to pick it up, I saw a homeless man with a dog. I'd passed by them and smiled before, but this time I really wanted to give them something. I reached into my pocket where I had three bills, a 20, a 10, and a 5. I decided I'd hand over whichever I pulled out. I ended up grabbing the 20, but the 10 and the 5 came out along with it, and before I knew what was happening, a gust of wind blew them away. They landed next to the man's feet. I had a moment of clarity about what the money meant for me versus what it meant for him, so I gave it all away and then went to pick up my car. When I got to the dealership, the guy who had told me the job would cost $800 handed me a bill for $398. I questioned him for half a minute before it hit me. the universe was showing me what happens when you're in a state of giving. Christine Parker at C_Parker_5 contributes, a week before I was scheduled for surgery, I was really nervous. In the grocery store, I saw a nun in full habit. She came up to me, admired my shirt, and told me about a young man who'd been thrown a few feet in a car accident but didn't have a scratch when he got to the hospital. Then she said, Jesus loves you. Out of everyone in the store, she'd come to me with that message. I went into surgery confident and calm. Elizabeth Brunetti at Take On Elizabeth contributes, an acquaintance of mine had a boat, one of those small yachts with living quarters below decks. And one night I got on board and met a handsome man. I wound up talking to him for the rest of the evening. All night long, I kept seeing a ballpoint pen in various places around the boat, next to the steering wheel, on a seat. No idea why I kept noticing that particular detail. At the end of the night, the handsome man was dropped off at a different dock, and at the last moment, he asked for my number. This was in the days before cell phones, but luckily I knew exactly where the pen was and was able to jot down my number on his hand as the boat was literally pulling away. We're now about to celebrate 10 years of marriage. And finally, from Megan Nelson Denton, at Nell Megan. I had a traumatic delivery with my first baby, so I was very anxious when I was about to give birth to my second. They'd planned a C-section, but I went into labor 3 weeks early. Since my regular OBGYN wasn't available, I had to have a doctor from another practice. I was having a tough time with my nerves, so I started singing Rocky Top, the unofficial fight song from my alma mater, the University of Tennessee. And the doctor started singing with me. She'd gone to UT too, 7 hours away. And as I came to find out, she shared my soon-to-be daughter's name, Maggie Ray. I felt God in that space giving us peace. And when we turn the page, we have a photograph that is spread across the two pages. And it is of Blair Braverman, dog musher, training in Alaska. The photograph has Blair in the foreground and her dozen dogs pulling her sled. And it is a flat, snowy expanse with a gray sky. As a musher, you're responsible for anticipating every need your sled dogs have, says Blair. Before they're hungry, you're already thawing their next meal. Before they're tired, you're planning their next rest. You're an athlete, but also a coach, nutritionist, and sports psychologist. And you're their teammate, their family. When I was growing up, my favorite books were by Gary Paulson, who often wrote about kids overcoming obstacles in the wilderness, and my mom's picture books of Alaska. I was especially fascinated by dog sledding. I'd put on rollerblades and tie my golden retriever's leash around my waist so she could pull me. And at 18, I did what instinctively felt right. I moved to Norway for a year to learn how to be a musher. I just sort of knew somehow that I should pack up my life and do this full time. That year, living in a training camp 200 miles north of the Arctic Circle, we studied how to build snow caves, care for the dogs, and somehow keep warm when temperatures went down to 30 below. It was surreal and terrifying, and I loved it. Instantly, I realized this is where I've spent my life trying to get to. This year, I finished the Iditarod, the 1,000-mile race across Alaska. It was the toughest thing I've ever done. 13 days of relentless work where every foot we traveled was hard won. While frozen places can be intimidating, the more time you spend in them, the more you realize how vulnerable they are. With climate change, dog sledding could look very different in 50 years or 20. It's possible that current mushers could be among the last generations to travel like this. I hope we can be part of a heritage that stretches into the future, not just the past. And let's move from Blair in her black parka and furry cap and furry gloves to dressing up for the holiday season to come. Razzle dazzle 'em. Now's the time to dress to impress. But if you've been caught without a stash of holiday finery, don't fret. With our fashion and beauty party trips, you'll look fab at every fete. And what we're seeing on this first page is a sparkly evening bag. It's a clutch with stripes, and it is all very sparkly, like little gems. And there's lavender and green and pink and red and dark blue and kind of a golden yellow, interspersed with white and black stripes. And they're on the diagonal with a big gold ball clasp on the top. It's being held by a hand with silver nail polish and a bedazzling dinner ring of pave diamonds. An evening bag in a spectrum of shades goes with more than you might think. It can bring happy sparkle to a little black dress and extra zing to a solid color ensemble, or pick up the hues in a contrasting print. The clutch is from Nina, and it's $88 at ninashoes.com. The ring is Kate Spade, New York, and it's $128. Go to katespade.com. And the next page has five different satin shoes. They're pumps or flats with pointy toes, and they are satin. The first one is red, and it's a slingback with a kitten heel, and it's got a black grosgrain ribbon tied in a big bow, embellished with what looks like a brooch and sapphire blue stones, creating petals on a flower with a diamond center. And next is a pink high-heeled satin pump with about a 1-inch wide strap that goes kind of across the arch of the foot. And the buckle on that has diamond-like stones, creating a lot of shimmer and glimmer. The next shoe is a deep forest green stiletto-heeled satin slingback. And on the outside, near the strap at the heel, is a fan of pleated satin. And it's got this almost completely circular, kind of like a brooch, a bob for the shoe itself, in diamond-like stones. And then we have a yellow slip-on, a slide, with kind of a low but skinny heel. It's a golden yellow. And then it's got a wide strap that goes across the arch, almost like a ribbon. And it has a circle of diamonds kind of scrunching it up on the outside. And the last shoe is a little navy blue satin ballet flat with a diamond-like circle embellishment on the toe. And what they say here is jewel-tone pumps and flats, complete with twinkly detailing, are so striking you can go simpler on top and still say, "I came to play." The red shoe at the top is from FrancisValentine.com, and it's $348. The pink one is from Charles and Keith Collection at $76. The green shoe is $398 from Tory Burch. The yellow satin slip-on with the low heel is $625 from MaloneSoliers.com. And the flat is $455 from Sarah Jessica Parker. And when we turn the page, there is a white, sparkly, sequined trench coat. Classic trench coat, the belts tied, double-breasted notched collar, and tabs around the ends of the sleeves. Make it a white tie affair. Whatever the dress code and whatever lies beneath, you'll turn heads in a snowy sequined trench. Not sure what to pair it with? Wear it as a scene-stealing dress. This is found at Kohl's, and it is $98. And now they're recommending also a pair of kind of burgundy velvet. Well, they look like loungewear pants with a drawstring, and they say stretch the rules. Yes, you can be comfy and pulled together in burgundy velvet pants featuring an adjustable drawstring with heels. The look won't get too loungy. The brand is A New Day, and they're $25 at Target.com. Then we have some hair bows here. They're little half-inch satin bows. They're kind of long and flat. They show them here in purple and lavender, pink, deep red, and navy. Put a bow on it. Adding a dainty hair accessory will make your look special occasion worthy, and it's an easy way to doll up second-day hair. Originally $38 for a pack of five, now 20% off with code BOWS at violetandbrooks.com. And next, under the heading Shine Your Shoes, they have a collection of shoe clips. And I mentioned them on those satin pumps on the other page. They really look very ornamental, like brooches, costume jewelry in sort of diamond-looking stones. And it says, don't let the day-to-night dash compromise your brilliance. A bejeweled shoe clip gives any ordinary pump new life, taking it from under the desk to after dark. The shoe clips are from White House Black Market. They're $28 per pair, WHBM.com. And the heel that's shown here is a plaid. It's red and black with a little bit of blue on a white background. And it's a pump with a chunky 2-inch heel. And it's $148 from AnnTaylor.com. And here's another tip. Smooth things out. To keep your do done when impromptu plans arise, tuck away some holiday hair help. A travel-friendly, battery-powered cordless iron can straighten your strands, fix your bangs, or bring back bounce to an unruly wave. Lunata Beauty Cordless Flat Iron Styler Plus, $185 from Luna. TABeauty.com, and it's white with sort of copper accents on it. And next we have Treat Your Feet. A collaboration between a maker of CBD products and a shoe designer, this cream soothes as it hydrates. It's in a white tube and a red box, and it has a fancy emblem like a royal stamp, and it says Lord Jones. Apply it before you put on heels to help prevent pain, and post-party as a relaxing treat. Lord Jones and Tamara Mellon High CBD Formula Stiletto Cream, $70 at LordJones.com. And here's a white tee. It has a little bit of a wide neck, not a close crew neckline, but a little bit of a scoop neck. And three-quarter length sleeves that kind of flare. And the tee is a little bit longer, almost tunic length. And it flares. And it's got about a 2-inch border across the bottom. The hem is shorter on the front and about 4 or 5 inches longer on the back. And it's got that same 2-inch border on the wide three-quarter length kind of flared sleeves. No time to change for your office party? No problem. Designer Christian Soriano and retailer Jay Jill joined forces to create this knit A-line tee with woven trim that's great with a pencil skirt or dressy tuxedo pants. Christian Soriano for Jay Jill, $79 at jjill.com. The final item on this page is Go for the Glow. Before you break out your makeup bag, treat your skin to some radiance-boosting exfoliation. Spread on a gentle peel, wait 5 to 15 minutes, and your complexion will appear more even and smooth. Then you're prepped to primp. The Route the Party Peel, $65 at theroutebeauty.com. And this is in a very elegant-looking gold rectangular pump bottle. Gold top, and I think the peel itself is kind of a glimmery gold. And we have more glimmer in invest in liquid assets. High impact need not be high maintenance. A swipe of black or metallic liner at the lash line is a quick trick to accentuate eyes. Whether you go bold, thick and winged out, or subtle, thin and just to the eye's corner. No shadow required. Marc Jacobs Beauty Highliner Liquid Gel Eyeliners, $27 each, Sephora.com. And the one that they have open here in its elegant silver tube is a very glittery gold. And here are a few dressy items. We have a white tuxedo-inspired pantsuit with a black satin shawl collar. Get down to business. A tuxedo-style pantsuit never fails when elegance is in order. The pop of a black lapel against the cream feels celebratory, not stiff. The jacket is $179 and the pants are $98 at AnnTaylor.com. And then they have a jade green dress here, and it's the headline is Dress Deftly. This jade gem will brighten your evening, and the cut, sleeves, prominent ruching, flatters curves while providing enough coverage for the office. So this is a really wide neckline, slim fitting, slender sleeved dress, and the ruching goes from the left side with only six darts, if you will, that go all the way across the front, almost like a starburst from the waist and midriff and hip, going up towards the neckline and down towards the hem. They are from Gabrielle Union Collection at New York & Company, $90, nyandcompany.com. We have a couple of sweater options here under the heading Give Knit Some Wit. Sweaters in au courant silhouettes, like a ruffled off-the-shoulder cable knit, or with twists on traditional patterns, a black and white houndstooth cardigan with some silver beaded trim. They're suitable for your next soiree. The one-shoulder sweater, which is that classic kind of fisherman's knit design, cable knit design, but on a smaller scale with some black horizontal lace on it, is from Self Portrait, and it's $350. The black and white houndstooth is a very classic style, deep V with black trim, black around the hem, black at the sleeve hem, and some silver beading around the deep V neck as well, and little patch pockets. That's $129 at Chico's. Under the heading Freshen Up, two new ways to make sure your fragrance lingers for the life of the party. A whimsical brooch backed with a perfume disc. Choose from three scents. And a floral hair mist that also nourishes your strands. Diptyque, a Parfuma perfumed brooch, $120. And Jo Malone, London Wild Bluebell Hair Mist, $50. And that's in a rectangular clear bottle with a silver cap. So that's the mist. And the gold brooch is almost an African-inspired little sketchy linear kind of bird. And with skinny long legs. Under the heading Flash Forward, we're seeing another sequined t-shirt, and we had a couple of these in the November issue getting us ready for the party season. This one's in a midnight blue. You know all about the cocktail dress, but what about the cocktail top? Its serious shimmer and easy-to-wear shape work equally well with black pants or jeans. It's $89 at nydj.com. We have a beautiful red lipstick here, and under the heading Set the Tone, a rich red lip always makes for a lively look. For a flawless finish, exfoliate first with a scrub or a toothbrush, dab on a hydrating balm, blot with a tissue, and then apply color. NARS Studio 54 Audacious Lipstick in Carmen, $34, narscosmetics.com. And now we have an update on kind of a classic old purse look. And this is done in clear instead of leather. And it's got the large gold tone hinge that with a gold clasp on it. And it has great big balls of pearls. There are 8 of them which form the handle. And the clear vinyl or plastic that creates the bag has a V-shape chevrons of pearls on it. If you really want to make a statement and feel like splurging, consider this fanciful pearl-encrusted creation. Since the trendy see-through design puts your stuff on display, be sure to keep evening essentials tidy and chic. Zach Posen, $695 at zachposen.com. Cheer things up with these little black pumps with a nice pointy toe and white embroidered champagne bottles and champagne glasses with little diamond-like stones that create the bubbles above them. So they're a black pump with kind of a kitten heel. Here's two bedazzled kitten heels with just enough height to let you look party ready without having to hobble home afterwards. $39 at Talbots.com. And here's O Creative Director Adam Glassman's take under the heading Give It a Twirl. When in doubt, do a full skirt. It's an investment piece that never goes out of style. This stunner is one, it has a tulle overlay and it's black with embroidery that benefits from a balance of white, button down, or a black turtleneck. So it's a floral embroidery on a black tulle and it's tiered. It's $598 from ToryBurch.com. And finally, get glitzed. And we have big, chunky, faceted fake jewels that are on post with little teardrops. And the teardrops have little gold bezels around them. They are either a ruby or an amethyst. And the what they have to say about it is, make a pair of gleaming earrings the finishing touch that ties together your ensemble. Pick a matching color combo or one that complements the hues you're wearing, like red stones, for a pink outfit. They're $45 per pair at JardinJewelry.com. And as we're wrapping up this first installment, let's look at from the Live Your Best Life section of the magazine under the heading Make/Believe. For Simon Beck, every day is a snow day. When the powder's fresh, some people get the urge to go sledding or make an angel. Simon Beck would rather spend 12 hours buckled into high-tech snowshoes, stamping intricate geometric shapes into the blanketed ground. Beck, an engineer and cartographer, says, quote, "Most last only until the next snowfall or high winds," end of quote. But the impermanence doesn't bother the 61-year-old Brit. He says, "We have photography," whose ski retreat in Savoie, France, provides ample access to his medium of choice. What began as a way for Beck to stay fit in winter has turned into a globe-trotting arts career. The spatial savant has made awe-inspiring patterns, or drawings, as he calls them, some as big as 3 soccer fields in far-flung places like Aomori, Japan, and Banff National Park in Canada. He's also recreated logos in new snow for brands like Corona and Maserati. Whatever the terrain, Beck's rigorous approach is largely the same. First, he uses a compass to measure and walk a drawing's perimeter. Then he traces internal lines to form paths he can travel again and again while he works. Finally, he treads specific areas to add shaded contrast. His fuel for the taxing endeavor? Bananas, oatmeal cookies, and fruit juice. In Savoie, Beck regularly returns to his preferred blank canvas, a reliably frozen lake, to march epic designs into being and snap pictures for his nearly 275,000 Facebook followers. Says the artist, "When I'm at the edge of the steep drop down to the lake, seeing my drawing in sunshine for the first time, that's a really big moment." And we have 3 pictures here. In the middle of the page, we're looking down from a cable car on the side of a mountain. and it has a huge snowflake pattern stamped out on it. At the very top, we're looking across a very geometric pattern, like swirls from a center with a kind of checkerboard in each of the ribbons of the swirl. And then down at the very bottom, again, more swirls. The top picture is Beck's take on a sunflower head in 2014. And then the one from the overhead cars, a snowflake-like fractal pattern. And then Beck with a sketch of Target Field in Minneapolis, the site of a 2018 work. The Target Field drawing is in progress, showing Beck walking it with his snowshoes. And now let's listen to a couple of answers to this month's question, what was the best thing about 2019? Kimberly Stromgren of Superior, Wisconsin says, I challenged myself to 30 days of dips in the chilly waters of nearby Lake Superior. Swimming has brought out the child in me and shown me what I'm made of. I feel alive, present, and lucky to have discovered this new adventure. Jessica Sage of Ashland, Oregon says, as my third act, I turned 60 this year. I started my own theater company, debuting with a play I wrote. We've already had two successful productions, and the future looks brighter than ever. Becky Moore of Brooklyn Park, Minnesota says, visiting Niagara Falls for the first time and discovering there are tons of wineries in the area. You can only look at the falls for so long, right? Amy Nadine Ellis of Houston says, my Oprah's Girls Getaway Cruise, where Oprah herself handed me a tequila shot. And with that, we've run out of time for today's episode of Oprah Magazine. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Susan Dellinger, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.